The Demon Seed.
Walker, you must be mistaken.
It's now, it's here.
Come on down here and help with it.
Demon Seed.
Paranormal existence.
You mean to say you came here purposely?
The first move in the great conspiracy had been made.
Cannot beat a weak squash. I've said this for years and people have berated me. People have berated me. Do you know what I do on a hot day, Mike? I get a can of Coca-Cola and I add a bit of cold water to it and people berate me for that. They call me a bastard. And I say, fuck you.
Fizzy water or just plain water?
Either one. Dickhead. I do not care. Lemonade, Coca-Cola, lager. I've been known to add tonic water to lager. I live life on the edge, Mike. I live life on the fucking edge.
I think the last podcast, I'm not sure if producer recently put these out in order.
Yeah.
But I asked what the balance is like between the paranormal and the non-paranormal content.
Great question.
And he said it was a good mix. He said, his words were, it was a nice balance. So.
Yeah. And again, people are not paying for this. So what they're really
Well, they're not paying a dime for it, as they say.
There's not a dime for this. There's nothing.
Brass penny.
You know. And the amount
if you turn, if you got your little podcast app on your phone and you've got Demon Seed Pod on there.
Yeah.
And then we start doing stuff for free. Why would I care what you think?
Exactly. I mean, it's the tat, it's the scrag end. It's the skid marks in the pants that have been thrown in behind the toilet in the motorway service station that you end up getting stuck in and having to have a dump whilst they're staring at you. You know, that's what it is. That's exactly
it's,
what it is.
It's the shiny toilet paper of life, isn't it? It's not the quadruple ply soft stuff. It's the stuff that just smears the shit around.
Yeah, do you remember that?
Yeah.
Yeah, you were busted. Do you know, in school...
It was free in school, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was free.
You had to go around Tesco and buy toilet paper. There was toilet paper in school, but it was shit.
You never hear anybody...
It would cover your arse in shit, but it was free.
Yeah.
And what this is like.
I used to do the panic wipe would involve you're in school, you don't want to have a dump, but it hits you. And you've got to go.
Nature's nature.
Yeah. And you know you can't go during break time because that's when everyone's
got a poo and a man's got a poo.
Yeah. They're all going to stand outside the door trying to get in and hurt you and put water on you or do whatever they do. Right. So you had to hold it in until after break, till halfway through a lesson. Put your hand up. Can I go to the toilet, please? Okay.
Yeah.
Then you go to the staff toilet, which you're not allowed in, but you know it's going to be the quietest one. You'd go in there. Obviously, you whip your kegs off, you get on the bog seat, you let it out.
There's usually a teacher smoking in there as well.
Yeah. In our case, they were praying for the terrible things they'd done to the pupils.
Yeah.
And you'd sit there, and of course, half the log would come out, but because you're panicking, you're tensing more than relaxing, and you cut the log off halfway, you'd end up with what I call a flush and rewipe.
Oh, God.
You know the flush and rewipe way? There's half a log hanging out. Half of it's gone in. You think, right, what? I've got 15 minutes. So you get the scratchy, shiny squares of this arse-ripping toilet paper and you start just scraping it. You're just scraping it fast and hard and you're sweating because it's a hot summer's day. Get it out. And it won't go because it's a log. So after 10 minutes of just battering away at this, all you're doing is smudging. You're just smudging. You've then got to stop.
I mean, this sounds very, very... personal to you.
I've been in this hell. You have to stop. You have to change your breathing patterns. You have to focus and you have to get the secondary log out because you've snapped it. And if that doesn't happen, all you're just having a nightmare. Absolutely. And we've all been there. We've all done it.
Everyone's done it.
Everyone's done a flush and rewipe.
Everyone's tried to rush one. You shouldn't rush it.
No.
Never rush it. It should be like a fine wine.
Exactly. You know. And you can't drink a fine wine with... you know, 10 or 12, 15-year-olds outside the door telling you to come out. You can't do that.
No, you can't do it.
Shocking. I mean, sometimes I wipe so hard there was blood on the paper, which is a great name for an album if you make heavy rock. But
blood on the paper,
I think that's a great name for an album.
Yeah, it'd be good, that.
Number one smash hit album.
What I'm saying is they're not paying for the podcast.
No, they're not. But here we are, free and easy, two young boys on the highway of life, letting it all out. Logs and all.
It's nice, isn't it? It's nice to just to kick back and...
Oh, it's brilliant.
Talk our different worldviews, especially regarding the paranormal. It's nice that we come from, you know, a mutual area of respect and appreciation, but also by the same token, very different takes on life, the universe, and everything.
I mean, you yourself, Mike. Although you try and find the scientific evidence to disprove a lot of these things, you're interested in the paranormal. You've been interested in it for many years. What would you say was the very first thing that got you into the world of the paranormal, whether it be a science fiction film or a spooky story or even something you saw as a child? What would you say was the thing that turned you on to the world of the paranormal, Mike?
Oh, what a good question, John.
In depth.
It's like a proper podcast. Isn't it? We should have guests on and stuff. Probably would have been a story in 2008 AD comic.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe something like The Incredible Mind of, I think his name was Wolfie Smith.
Yeah.
Maybe The Dark Judges in Judge Dredd.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously Judge Anderson, who she had telepathic abilities.
Yeah.
So, that sort of thing.
Those were the sort of defining moments that switched you on to the world of the paranormal, you might say.
Yeah. And, of course, Halloween at my nan's house in Merthyr.
Classic. And she used to dress up as a ghost and get on top of you and ride you around the living room.
No, just used to give us a washing up bowl full of water and an apple. Okay. Play Bob and Apples.
Nice. That is nice. Yeah. I had a very, very different experience that turned me onto the world of the paranormal. I know we have a bit of a laugh on this show, and you know it's a bit free and easy, and we really just we let it all out here. But
chill, don't we?
Yeah. I'd like to sort of tell a story today that I've shared with very few people in my life.
Oh yeah, amongst friends, mate.
It all goes back to probably about 1985, 1986.
Could you stand a bit closer to your microphone, or are you standing in the next room?
Oh, has it gone funny again?
Yeah.
How's that? Is that better?
It's still quiet.
Oh, for fuck's sake. Every time my son uses the car, it comes back stinking like a filthy ass. Right. Here we go. Right.
How's that looking?
How's that? Is that any better?
No, it's exactly the same.
For fuck's sake. Right. Is this any better?
That's slightly better.
Is this any better?
That is better.
Right. Okay. I'm actually, my face is touching the microphone at the moment, so... But that's fine because
fine. That's what Liam. That's how. What's his name? He's just singing Oasis all the time.
Yeah, that old Leon Gallagher. Leon Gallagher.
Was he related to Leon Britton? I think he was his son, wasn't he?
Yes, he was. He was Leon Britton's son, and their son. They had another boy called Noel Edmonds, and it was Leon Gallagher and Noel Edmonds formed Oasis, one of the biggest bands to come out of the UK in years.
Yeah.
Massive band. Brilliant.
The pride of Milton Keynes.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, Milton Keynes is you know, the statues to them. All the people from Milton Keynes have got the haircut. They're just a classic band. The Oasis. Brilliant. Brilliant. Noel Edmonds and Leon Britton. Classic. Anyway, I digress. Yeah. I digress, Mike. Before we delve into today's meat and bones of it, I just want to tell you my story as a young boy. The reason that I became so involved with the paranormal was
up the woods or
up the end of my street, Mike. Up the end of my street. Imagine this: the year is 1985. Young boys and girls travel around on grifters, BMXs.
I was 13.
I was probably
just had my bar mitzvah.
I was. Is that when they cut their willy skin off, or is that a different?
I think I wasn't actually Jewish. I was just that 13 is the age you have a bar mitzvah.
Right. Okay.
I believe. They take the foreskin off almost just right after birth.
Right.
When you're very, very young.
That's cool.
Rabbi comes round, tells you a bit about how special you are to God.
Yeah.
Oh, everyone loves you so much. And then he cuts your dick off.
Heavy going. Yeah. I digress. I'm losing my shit again. Okay. The as I said,
of course, brings back the joke we told quite often in primary school.
Yeah,
of what did the baby say to the rabbi?
I don't know.
Keep the tip.
Quite good, not bad.
And that's not in any way blasphemous.
I think it's just.
I think all religions are worthy of respect.
Definitely. I mean, I love them all. They're brilliant. Yeah. They're brilliant. You know. Anyway, let's go back. 1985, young boy up the end of my street. Imagine you know, people on grifters, BMXs, gangs of kids wandering the streets aimlessly, smoking, drinking cans of lager. It was a lawless time.
Oh God, it was like bloody. Yeah, it was like Escape from New York, wasn't it?
It wasn't like today, kids staying indoors on PlayStations and doing, you know, TikTok videos. It was none of, it was about getting you get a box of matches, you put them in a line across a dog shit, you light them, then you all breathe in the fumes and see who can last the longest. Yeah. That's what childhood was.
You didn't have some little prick just unwrapping presents and telling everyone where he bought them from to get some
fucking none of that. No
freebies.
My mate Ross telling us how to build a machine gun using nails. And a disused firework. That's what, you know, growing
up. It was proper back then, wasn't it?
Absolutely fantastic.
Like burning the wings off moths and other stuff.
So yes,
really
yeah.
cruel stuff that was completely necessary.
Wrapping a plastic bag around a stick and then just setting fire to it and throwing it into someone's house. That's what it's all about. Posting poor mags for a priest.
My mate Dave used to make roly fags using the paper he peeled off the back of concrete blocks.
Classic.
Because when he lights it with like a magnifying glass, it will keep burning. It doesn't go out.
Exactly. And it made us stronger.
And he would put things like grass and woodlice in there.
Yeah.
And he'd smoke those. I don't mean grass as in marijuana. I mean just dried grass.
That's what it's all about. That is what it's all about. I knew a kid locally who went up a petrol station. He got the tyre pump, the automatic tyre pump, put it up a frog's bum and exploded it. That doesn't happen today.
Right. It's not, which is cruel and you shouldn't do it.
No. And by all accounts, he did end up a proper psycho.
Well, that's how they start off.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, I wasn't one of the ones burning the wings off moths, but no. I did. I've heard of it.
Yeah, I like I said.
Although
I,
my friend also called Michael, and I, very popular name in the 70s, and he didn't know any different. We were like 4 or 5 years of age. We would have a little game called snails,
right?
Where his mum and dad had a pebble dash wall in the back garden.
Yeah,
we would throw snails against the wall.
Yeah.
And the one who snail lost all its shell first was the winner. Which in hindsight was a horrible thing to do.
But kids these days, they just, you know, they're too busy.
But we didn't have PlayStations.
No, we didn't. We didn't, you know. Like I said, I drew the line at putting a row of matches in a very long dog shit and lighting it and breathing in the fumes. I drew the line at that.
Well, everyone's got a line in the sand and not put it across.
Exactly. But, you know, during this era, there was a house at the end of my road that had been derelict for some time. I mean, we're talking at least 10 or 15 years.
Right.
Completely empty. And quite...
Well, I always take exception with that phrase when you say at least 10 or 15 years.
Yeah.
If it was 15, if it was at least 15, you've already said it could be 10. So that do you mean? You don't need two numbers in an at least.
You're right.
You wouldn't say at least five. There were at least five or six of them. Well, if there were six, there could have been five. And that's less.
Yeah. All right.
So say at least six or at least five.
Okay. So there was a house at the end of my road, derelict, and it'd been empty for at least 5 years. Is that...
Yeah, that's fine.
Okay. And on occasion, we'd play the old game that you do as a kid or, you know, wander into the back garden and stand there for a bit because it'll be haunted, right?
What a game.
And you
absolutely fantastic.
You'd open the gate, you'd run in, come back out again. Of course, as time went on, we got a little bit braver and more kids started turning up to this house, Mike. You know, so originally it was me. We'll have to bleep the names, but Joanne Mackay, Charles Price, Matthew Price, Mostyn, Howell, Joanne Mackay's sister, my own sisters. We'd all start wandering up to this house.
So four families, basically.
Yeah. Well, initially...
Either that or you lived in a town that only had four surnames.
Well, this is where it gets interesting, Mike. After a few weeks, we started wandering inside of the house and it was incredibly scary, I can tell you. I mean, there were sort of burnt tables, there were horrible moulds growing on the wall. It was had a really sinister feeling to it. And we got braver and braver until one day we said, right, we're going to go and we're going to go upstairs. We're actually going to go upstairs in this house. So there's this guy, imagine like Stranger Things, but with a dog shit on fire, right? And one day we go, okay, we're going to go in there. And we got up there and there was another kid we'd never seen before. There was another kid.
I was mighty scared.
You have to understand, these kids were young. They were real young. They'd never been inside the house beyond going downstairs. But today, they were going...
They didn't know their ass from their elbow.
They burned dog shit, sure, but they'd never been upstairs. We thought, let's go upstairs. Another kid turned up. Slightly stranger clothes than us. Real kid. Right. Never seen him before. Right. All right. My name's Matt. What are you doing? We're going in the house, Matt.
Not from Victorian times.
No, this is it. Scraggly jeans and a t-shirt. Didn't look quite right. But, all right, yeah, we're going to go in the house, Matt. He went, all right, I've been there before anyway. Don't worry, it's not haunted. We know it's not, but we're scared, Matt. To cut a long story short, we went in. Matt went ahead of us. He went upstairs, got to the top of the stairs, went into the bedroom. When he went in, I heard a noise, a muffled noise like this. Matt, what are you doing? Stop dicking about, Matt. No sign. We went into the bedroom. Matt wasn't there. All that we found was a used condom on the floor. No one ever saw Matt again. No one knows who he was. No one knows where he went. And that, Mike, is why I'm obsessed with the paranormal today.
Is that a true story?
Yeah.
So just a donkey, just an old donkey in the room.
An old donkey. I know, it was just completely full. Like, it was so full that it was about the size of a football, but there was a knot tied in it, so it was just bouncing around the room, so completely full of juice.
Juice? Is there a window?
The window was boarded up.
I went to a room with a window. Clarice.
I'd like a pie and window. Some chips, Clarice. Have you ever eaten pie and chips before?
With salt and vinegar.
I found a carny, Clarice, full of juice in the corner of the room. Have you ever found a carny full of... Oh, dear. Well, anyway, I mean, that's how I... And ever since then...
I ate a condom with father beans and a nice Chianti. That sort of thing.
Oh, classic. Absolutely. Yeah. Cool. I ate his carny, Clarice. I filled it full of juice. Oh, my God. I'm sweating. I'm really... Great episode, this one. Classic.
Oh, fucking hell. It's spooky, isn't it? It's
really spooky.
It's like Tales of the Unexpected.
Yeah, Tales of the, you know...
It's a bit like that programme we did before. There was nothing like this.
Yeah, but with much less content and much less planning.
Oh, yeah, I should say.
There's none of that.
Yeah.
But people are smashing that like button. They're smashing that like button. They're subscribing. So that's
you know, it's free. I don't want people to respect for free.
Keep churning this shit out until one of us dies, you know.
Yeah.
And what's great is we've had a great build-up to today's main content.
It's been a roller coaster. I should say so.
Yeah. I mean, I'll tease you into it, Mike. What do you think of the name Cynthia? Ever heard of any famous Cynthias? Can you name any famous Cynthias?
There's a good song called Cynthia by a band called Blue Rodeo. It goes, Cynthia, won't you take me to the Pyramid Lake with you? We could watch the spaceships. Maybe they'd take us on a trip to that never-ending sky, to that...
That's it.
Called Cynthia.
Interesting you say that, because this...
Why did I believe her? Heaven only knows. One look in my eyes and all my resolution goes. One day love just hits you with a flash, leaves you staring blindly like some photograph. In fact, it might have been called Photograph or Camera. But definitely there was a Cynthia in it.
It might have been called Marzipan or Ambag or, you know, anything really, but...
No, but it's about a woman called Cynthia.
Yeah.
And the crux of it is, I think they were taking some photographs together and she was a bit of a... He was in love with her, even though it was a very, very brief encounter.
Yeah.
And she fucked off, I think, with his camera at the end of it.
Right, what a bitch.
Good song, though, and a good band. Great band, actually. Blue Rodeo. Still going.
What are they called, Cynthia and the Cameras?
Blue Rodeo.
Keep an eye out for them.
And then, of course, other Cynthia... There was Cynthia Payne.
Yes, Madam Sin.
The famous Madam from the 80s.
Who had a lot of sex and did a lot of whipping of official government, you know...
She used to go around, smacking MPs with a rolled-up telegraph and stuff.
Yeah. And for some reason, she ended up being on breakfast television quite a lot after it all happened, which was really weird.
And she always looked a bit like Prunella Scales. That sort of look, didn't she?
She did. And she was a bit cheeky, and she'd say things like, well, of course...
of course, it's not double anal.
Of course, I was drinking tea for the whole thing.
Yes, they're the MP for Bexley Heath, and he was absolutely dripping with a spunk.
Well, he got a rolling pin and put it up himself and said, oh, you hurt yourself doing that, but he carried on doing it.
Shocking. Oh, dear.
Yeah.
But any other famous Cynthias you can think of?
Cynthia, the madam. Cynthia from the song that might be called Cynthia. Cynthia. I can't think of any other Cynthia.
Well, I'm about to introduce you to probably the most famous Cynthia of all time regarding paranormal events. Mike, welcome to the world of Cynthia Appleton. A name.
Oh, Madam Synth.
I was gonna make a pie out of pastry, but when I got the rolling pin out, it was covered in blood. Ooh.
Well, we had a nice bottle of wine at me, of course, sideways.
Yeah. I didn't know what was happening half the time, but I had plenty of money out of it. Couldn't walk for a week, mind you.
It kept me tits off. Now get me on TVN with Anne Diamond and Nick.
And that sort of stuff.
Not exactly that sort of thing. Yeah. Cynthia Appleton, on the other hand.
Good name.
A housewife from Birmingham, Mike. Now, what do we know about Birmingham?
The jewel of the West Midlands, yep. Britain's second biggest city.
Yeah.
Home of the Bullring. Yep.
Home of Ozzy Osbourne as well, of course.
Ozzy Osbourne.
I didn't even know.
Ocean Colour Scene.
Yeah. Ocean Colour Scene. They're all there. I didn't realise, you know, when I was... Sharon, you know, came outside and said, Cynthia's an alien. And that's what this story's all about today. Yes, on November 18th, 1957, English housewife Cynthia Appleton was taking care of her children at home when she suddenly heard a high-pitched whistling sound.
Taking care of children every day. Taking care of children every way. I've been taking care of children. It's all right. Taking care of children and working overtime. Anyway, sorry.
Yeah. Once the sound had stopped, Appleton saw a tall blonde man materialise near her fireplace. Ooh. Using telepathy, ooh, the man lovely. Instructed... Using telepathy, the man instructed Appleton not to be afraid. He was a visitor from the planet Garnisvan.
From where?
Garnisvan. Garnisvan.
Garnisvan.
And his people wished to make contact with special earthlings like Appleton. Sharon, there's a fucking some bloke from Garnisvan outside. Got blonde hair trying to get on top of me.
Shut up, Ozzy.
Etc. I can't do a show.
I couldn't even. Woman. I didn't realise at the time. Massive on my mind, not cocaine. Some man came in the room and took my pants off.
Do a naughty old holder. It's not far away from that.
Baby!
That's
yeah. Naughty. I've been getting a bang into Slade lately.
Yeah, very good. Very good Slade, I must say.
Really good band.
Fan of Slade. Have we seen that? I've seen the lights out of the something of something. I've seen a bloke called Keith in Japan. I've seen a bloke who's called Keith, and a bloke who's called Keith, and a bloke whose name is Keith. And it's a something. I'm out of it, You know that one?
He's a great wordsmith, old Noddy.
Classic. Absolutely brilliant. The thing with me, right, I've got bits of hair on the side of my head like a dog, coming out curly like a spaniel's ears. Fantastic, that. Anyway, over the next year, the man from Garnisvan would make 7 more appearances at Appleton's house, sometimes bringing along a friend. When not explaining how to cure cancer, the man would make pseudo-philosophical babble, insisting that time was not real and that all life was unified. During his last 6 visits, the man also shunned teleporting and opted...
Why are you inviting this dickhead back like 6 or 7 times?
Well, originally he was teleporting into the house. She couldn't stop it. It was a cloud of gas. There was a high-pitched noise and he just appeared, sometimes bringing a friend. But it's a great point you've made there, Mike, because listen to what happened next. During his last 6 visits, the man shunned teleporting and opted to arrive in a big black car. So at that point, you could stop him from coming in. Noddy Alder turns up in a black car. You're going to let him in once or twice, get a few anecdotes about the band. But
yeah, I should say so.
All right, it's Noddy. I've come back to talk about the band. No, no, thanks, Nod. You're all right. I don't want you in. In September 1958, the Garnisvan man and his friend showed themselves to Cynthia Appleton.
Not Tolland man.
No. Now, we all know about Tolland man, don't we, Mike?
He's different money.
Yeah, he was just basically found in a sort of peat bog. He'd been there for hundreds, if not thousands of years, preserved perfectly in the peat. When you see peat...
If you're North American, by the way, peat is like a type of turf you can use as fuel. I mean, it's not... He wasn't found in a man called peat.
No. That would have been shocking and amazing at the same time, to find a dead man inside of your own rectum.
Inside another dead man.
Yeah, that would be... That's a bit like having a flush and rewipe, only to reveal you've sort of given birth to a dead man from the prehistoric times.
Like a sort of gory Russian doll.
Very gory Russian doll. Imagine if you had a shit and I came out, Mike. Imagine that.
If I shit you out? Mm-hmm. Yeah, that'd be... I mean... Yeah, A, painful, and B, weird.
Yeah. Make a lot of money on YouTube, though.
Oh, you'd be minted, absolutely minted.
Yeah.
Can monetize that
straight off
the shit out of that
straight off the bat. During his last six visits, the man also shunned teleporting and opted to arrive in a big black car instead. In September 1958, the Garner's fan man and his friend showed themselves to Cynthia Appleton one last time. They told the mother of two she was pregnant. Confusingly, the child would be of the race Garner's Van, yet also her husband's son. In May 1959, Appleton gave birth to a baby boy, just as the aliens had apparently
James
predicted.
James Garner.
Well, despite some media attention, the Appletons never saw the Garner's Van man again, and they soon quietly disappeared from the public spotlight. Where do you stand on that, Mike? I mean, if you, for example...
I love people who get up the stick by somebody else and then try to pass it off as some sort of supernatural happening.
Two men who are played in a cloud of gas in the house on regular occasions, then stopped appearing in the cloud of gas and just turned up in a black car. Suddenly...
Imagine Vicky telling you that, you know, she was pregnant, but she hasn't been having an affair. There was just these two clouds of gas appeared.
Men from a cloud of orange gas with a high-pitched whining noise, you know. That I mean, that definitely... It didn't seem to prompt any questions here. They just seemed to just crack on. They had the kid and then that was it. So I don't really know where that story was going or where it went. But
oh, God. Which is the joy of the paranormal sometimes.
Yeah,
I mean.
Yeah. I think you're absolutely right.
It had no real beginning to speak of.
No.
No middle.
Yeah.
And it just sort of tailed off without an ending as well. It's just...
Very much like my experience of going into a derelict house as a young boy in the 80s with a stranger, only to find he'd disappeared and all that was there was a conny full of juice the size of a beach ball. Which I've got to say, if you were at a party and you saw one of them and you were a bit drunk, would you kick it?
Oh, 100%.
Really hard.
Yeah.
With a pair of hobnailed boots on.
I used to leave for a joke... I would, you know, in my younger days, sometimes leave a used condom in my friend Byron's shoes.
Oh, shocking. Would you fill it with your own juice or just put a bit of stale milk in?
Oh, yeah. Oh, no, the real stuff. And tie it up and just chuck it in there.
And how long did his feet get pregnant? What happened?
Yeah. His feet gave birth to twins.
Oh, imagine that. Fantastic.
Yeah.
Well, I think that's another case solved.
I mean, I wouldn't jizz in his shoes directly. I'm not an animal.
No, that's wrong.
It's just a sort of university prank, isn't it? You know,
do you know what, though? You reminded me of something.
You'd leave, like, condoms on, like... We didn't have computers, but you'd leave them in books and stuff. And
you'd leave... In those days, you'd leave them on the TV remote control or a pocket calculator, something like that.
Oh, yeah.
Or just basically... What we're saying here, Mike, is you would trail your seed across any electrical item in the house. Is that what you're saying?
Well, do you have any electrical items, really? Only an iron, but that'd be pointless.
A cooker hob? Electric cooker hob?
We had a gas cooker.
We would put a bit of seed on the gas hob.
You could do that, yeah.
Is that something
if you... If you listen to this, don't spunk on a gas hob.
No. Put it in a saucepan and boil it.
Yeah.
Disgusting.
It'd be like an omelette, I suppose, isn't it?
Possibly, yeah. I mean, it's a very good question. If someone is listening and they're willing to save up their, you know, their excess fluid...
Put like an 8 or 9... goes.
Yeah, you could fill it at a tire saucepan.
In a cup, you could do a non-stick pan and see what happens.
Well, I'm thinking like a wok, and you want to get about a pint and a half in.
And you a pint and a half?
Yeah. So you save it.
It would take me like 3 days.
Well, just that's no problem. You save it up, and then just like an omelette, you just draw the edges into the middle as it's cooking. You know, the way to do
it. Oh, fold
it.
Yeah. You sort of fold it.
Fold it over. Get it nice. Put a bit of cheese on.
Ironically.
A couple of spring onions. fold it over, and then you've got yourself quite a tasty.
I mean, my mouth's watering now. Actually, I mean,
if the world does go the way we think it's going to go, and everything ends tomorrow, this podcast could be someone's. Oh, soon, you know,
cheers omelets will be the way forward, mate. We'll be some cracked black pepper on there, bit of sea salt.
Lovely. Do you know what I do as well? Grate a bit of my arse cheek off to give it a little bit of a.
Oh, that'd be lovely.
Do you know what I mean? Just yeah. A little bit of flecks of meat in it. Oh,
shavings.
Absolutely.
Arse shavings, like parma ham.
Lovely stuff.
Raw, but very, very thin.
Mm. Oh, cracking. Absolutely cracking.
And then you have to check your stools like the Germans do for worms then.
I don't think you get worms from boiling your own seed and eating it, but your own meat should be okay for worms as well. But if you let's say the world goes totally post-apocalyptic and you're using somebody else's bottom cheek for the meat, right, that's when you're going to get worms. And on that bum note, see what I did there? I think we should round this one up quite nicely and maybe, you know, just roll off free and easy into the woods. But before we do
have
that...
Have we done long enough? I don't even know.
I mean, it's free,
we've been going about 28 minutes.
Is that long enough? I mean, let's fill.
I think it's long enough.
I've got something before we go.
Just fill for like a minute and a half.
All right. Okay.
I think it's free, but let's give them at least half an hour of free.
Okay, all right. Okay, you're right there.
I'll whinge about it getting shorter as well.
Mike, you're a big fan of rugby. Fabulous. You're a big fan of sport. You enjoy the active outdoor life. Rugby is a game that's very popular throughout, not just Wales, but the rest of the world. It's played in South Africa.
Mostly the ex British Empire countries, but and other places.
Yeah, and it's a game that can build character, it can build that idea of teamwork, and it can build mental health. It's very good for it.
That's probably enough now. That's probably enough time.
Do you reckon? Well, I was just going to say, I just wanted to say, I might as well get to the crux of it.
Oh, yeah, go on. We'll give a bit extra. Go on.
A couple of lads I know in the late 90s were playing rugby in school. One of them didn't have the correct type of pants to wear under those baggy rugby shorts that wouldn't allow his penis and balls to come out the side.
Always wear tight pants for rugby.
Yeah. He wanted to play desperately, so he went to a charity shop at break time, bought a pair of those sort of tight pants that clench the penis and balls. Put them on.
I'll call those nut huggers.
Yeah, got some nut huggers. Put them on, played the game of rugby, cracking, brilliant. Penis and balls stayed in place, played the rugby, brilliant. About a week and a half later, he got worms. There had been worm eggs in the pants. They'd gone up his anus and they'd impregnated him. So the moral of this podcast is don't wear pants that aren't yours to play rugby or do anything. So that's it. We filled perfectly there.
Yeah. We're up to, we're 29 and a bit now. So, I mean, we're in the 30th minute.
Brilliant. And for free, that really is, that pushes the
button. Oh, God, you're getting... Well, divide that by 30, and what's it costing them per minute? Nothing.
Nothing. I tell you what, before let's end with the song, I'll get in the car and I'll drive off into the sunset. Here we go. What's the song you like?
Get in the car. I am a lineman for the county, and I drive the main road, searching in the sun for another overload. I hear you singing in the wire. I can hear you through the wire.
Is the witch it's
and the
alive?
Witch it's alive, man.
And it's something on the line. And it just fades out. And whoever's listening to this thinks, what the fuck have I just listened to? And turns it off.
Yeah, but they might think, oh, that's a good track. And if you're thinking, wondering who that was originally, it was Glen Campbell.
The demon sees.
You must be mistaken.
It's here.
Come on down here and help us.
Demon sees.
Paranormal existence.
You mean to say you came here purposely?
The first move in the great conspiracy had been made.